Okay, class. Here we are. This is this is Church Unusual. I'm sorry, both of my classes. Church Unusual, Matthew chapter 16. We're gonna give a different little take. I know we've been reading over this scripture for a while, but we're gonna give a different little take on it. God has been dealing with me. My last class I did with Living by the Book, we were talking about meditation, and there was a question asked. He said, and this is one of the reasons we have to have a class called Church Unusual. Is what you're doing regurgitation or creation? Right? Are you regurgitating something, or are you creating thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven? You know, one of the most amazing things about creation was when when God said, let there be light, and there was a complete, utter, original creation. There was nothing that he got it from. There was nothing that he copied. There was nothing that he cloned or imitated. It was all right out of himself into creation to form a new world. It's very powerful. Not regurgitating. Regurgitating means, you know, it's vomiting. That means you take something in and then you spit it back out. Most people are regurgitating. Regurgitating is a major church method because we take whatever they're doing over there and copy it over here. And I'm not talking about successful things. I'm not talking about things to get you in a direction. You know, all pants are made in the same form. All shirts are made in the same form, but they may have different designs. I understand that. But, and the basic principle of it, but when you get to the point to where you become an echo and you're no longer, you're not a voice, then nobody can hear you. There's no power behind the echo. There's no tone. There's nothing behind the echo. It's just a replay of the same old thing. So you ask me regurgitation or creation. So right here, Jesus is going to begin to deal with this. One of the things I mentioned in the other class is that you have to be able to get away from things, get away from the commotion, get away from everybody's ideas. When is the last time that you sat quiet meditating with God? I'm not listening to no message, not listening to nobody preach, not praying, not listening to worship music. No, just quiet with God. And I'm not making a law out of it, but the idea is to cancel out the noise. Sometimes there's some faith. Yeah. Faith does come by hearing and hearing. So faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. But faith comes by hearing and hearing whatever you decide to hear. And sometimes you're hearing so many things that you got faith for what that preacher said or that person said more than you know what God is telling you. And so church ends up functioning that way. So now we have clone churches. We have churches that we're all westernized churches are clones of the Catholic Church. So, no, we're not like them. Yeah, y'all. You sit down, you stand up. You got all these different positions. You got all these different clothes. You got all these different things you do. You got the rituals that you do on certain days of the week. Yeah, you're just like them. We function just like the whole template of what it is. And so Jesus begins to question, and he says, and I'm going to read a little bit. He begins to challenge what's really going on. And then he starts talking about church in here. It's powerful. Chapter 16, I want to start off at verse 5, and it says, when the disciples will come to the other side, they have forgotten to take the bread. So they normally you take bread on a trip, food for a trip. They forgot to take the food, right, to the bread. And then Jesus says to them, perfect timing, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Leaven was what they used bread. Leaven was, it's almost like yeast, is what made the bread rise and made it ball up. Well, the best type of bread was unleavened bread. It wasn't fancy. Oh my God. Come on, Lord. It wasn't fancy. It didn't rise to the top. It wasn't the prettiest thing in the world, but it was the bread that was the best for you and the most, is the purest form of the bread. You add leaven in there because you want it to look good. You want it to puff up so that you can sell it. So it'll be appeasing to the eyes, but the leaven wasn't good for the body. Catch yourself now. Meek and lowly in heart, are you lifting yourself up? Abased, are you lifting yourself? You want the high room, are you taking the low room? Which when Jesus said all these different things. Are you the Pharisee that come in and say, I'm not like the other people, the extortioners and the adulterers, and I'm definitely not like this publican. And the publican got his head down and beat on his chest and said, Lord, be merciful for a sinner like me. And then Jesus makes a statement that he'll be lifted up, his prayer be heard and lifted up more than his Pharisee. Right? So leaven. So now beware of the lifting up. They're doing what they're doing to be lifted up. You got to watch yourself in Christianity and in just you can get into the organization. You lift yourself up. Oh, I'm good. It's been so long since I've done this. No. That's not where your power is. Your power is always in the ground. It's always in the low. And so Jesus began to challenge them and says, "Beware the leaven of the Pharisees." And they said among themselves, because they thought they forgot the bread. Jesus says, "Okay, oh, you little faith, why are y'all asking yourself a question? Why are you reasoning among yourself that, because you don't have no bread? Because you don't have no bread?" Like, he asked a question. Like, y'all reasoning about what I'm saying because you ain't got no bread? Wait, hold on. Y'all think I'm talking about bread? Then he says, "Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000? How many baskets you took up?" He talked to me, kind of stunting on them a little bit. Then he said, "How is it, do you not understand that I spake it to you?" But the next one he said, verse 10, "Neither the 7 loaves or the 4,000, how many baskets you took up?" He's trying to remind him, like, y'all talking about bread right now? Bread, right? And he says, "How is it that you not understand that I spake it to you not concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees?" Like, how do you not understand it? So now Jesus at this place was like, okay, y'all really don't get it. Y'all really don't have understanding. And I'm trying to tell you to watch out for they. You know what they say? They say they said, or this is how they doing it. Who is they? Always a they. So you got to watch out for the they. Because when you do what they do, tongue tie, when you do what they do, you end up not being who you are. There are some things, listen to me well, that God is trying to get into the earth realm, right? That he's trying to get into the earth realm that have never been seen before. But he can't do it because we're cloning. We're clogged. Oh. We're clogged with the clone. The clone is clogging up our flow. And so now he says, and then they understood, they bade him beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Verse 13, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples. So now he's having this conversation. Same thing. He said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now, of course, now he's trying to see what's the word on the streets. But I want you to catch something, because they begin to answer. He says, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, other Jeremiah, some one of the prophets. Well, hold on. How y'all know all this about what these people are saying unless you're having these conversations? How y'all know in specifics who all these, he named 4 people that they say, how you know all these things unless you're sitting out there having this conversation and talking with them? Unless you're being among them. Unless you're congregating yourself with them. How do you know what they're saying? As far as I know, you've been walking with me the whole time. But clearly you haven't been walking with me the whole time because you really, really know what they're saying. Catch yourself. Now you're out, and it's the same thing. He's still talking about whom do men say that I am? It's the same thing as beware of the Pharisees. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. You're cloning what they're doing, and now you're regurgitating. They regurgitated what these people were saying. Catch me. Watch this. And then he said unto them, watch this, "But who you say that I am?" Now he's asking the question, because do you agree? You think I'm John the Baptist? You think I'm Jeremiah? You think I'm Elias? Or you think I'm just another prophet? Who do you say? And now I'm checking you, because I'm checking where you're getting your information from, where you're getting your information from. Where are you getting your build for mindset? Where are you getting your understanding about what's really going on here? Where are you getting this from? He's challenging them to not be a clone in belief. To be a clone in belief and a clone in understanding. Sometimes in church we do that. So now we put that up there because they put it up there. And I'm not talking about the physical building or just the function of it all, right? It's the function of how it goes. We begin to clone things. And then Peter says, Peter jump up and said, Simon Peter answered, "Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And I love Jesus because he always one-ups us. Like, he doesn't leave you there. And then he goes off. He's trying to add something on. He's doing the fresh thing. He's doing the new thing. He said, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. Right? Thou art Peter, and blessed thou, Simon, for flesh and blood. But thou, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against. I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and kingdom of heaven, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever loose on earth. Ain't nobody never heard that before. What are we talking about? Right? He's telling us all these things that's about to happen that's fresh because you get a revelation of the Christ. This is what the Christ looks like. It's brand new, okay? We're no longer talking about what men say. We're saying what God said. My Father revealed this to you. You didn't come up with this from somebody. He said this for a reason. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. So you didn't get this from a side conversation. You didn't get this from talking to other people. God had to tell you this directly. So now Jesus, believing that he understands, begins to tell him all these things. Then he charged the disciples to tell the man he was the Christ. Verse 21, from that time forth, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief of priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. That's Christ talk. Since you know that I'm the Christ, then you should know that this is coming. Since you, I heard somebody say this one time, talking about, and don't get super religious when you hear what I'm saying, but they say that, you know, that they're not religious. They're anti-Christian, but they're followers of Christ, right? And they, oh, I'm anti-Bible. I don't really follow the Bible, but I follow Christ. I'd rather follow Christ than the Bible. Oh, I hear these preachers talking about the law and grace. And Jesus is an honorable mention to why you don't have to do that stuff no more because this stuff is taken care of. And wrong answer. People don't understand. Listen to what I'm about to say. Oh, you a follower of Christ? Okay, cool. Cool. So you want to follow Christ? Okay, cool. You don't want to follow religion and all these different things. You want to follow Christ? Cool. Are you sure? Hey, you follow Christ. You like that idea, huh? Okay, cool. Christ said, die. This is what Jesus said. This is what Christ, he says, ain't nobody love houses or lands or mothers or fathers or wives or children. For my sake in the gospel. He said, any man will come, right after this, he said, any man will come to me, let him deny himself. Take up the cross and follow me. You take up the cross, you take up the cross to go die. He tell the rich young ruler, go back, sell what you have, give it to the poor, and then take up the cross and come follow me. What are you saying? Look, I always say this, the law is the layup line. You know, you go to these basketball games, they got the warm-ups, and they're doing the layup line. It's not really like the game, but it's like the law is the layup line. The law is the warm-up. The law is the practice. The law is sound check. It ain't the concert. It's sound check. What Paul was talking about, what the law could not do that weak through the flesh. Yeah, he's saying the law was sound check. It was a layup check. It was trying to get you lined up for you being the line. And then Jesus comes and tells you how to be the line. Jesus Christ actually demands more than the Bible does. Ooh, it demands more of you than the law. And people don't understand that. See, the law said crucify animal. Jesus said crucify yourself. The law said give a sacrifice. Jesus said be the sacrifice. Die. The law says offer a gift. Jesus says be the gift. You the gift. Put yourself on the altar. He demands more. People be getting born again, don't know what they signed up for. I'm a follower of Christ. I love you. You don't know. No, you don't. Because it's going to demand more of you than you're willing to give. It's Christ talk. It's Christ talk. He said, then to show him how you got to go to Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders, the priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Now, here we go, Peter. Now, and it's funny that Peter, because Peter established the Christian church. And it's funny, if you read these right, you see it. And Peter says, it sound like just like us. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. The nerve of you to rebuke the Christ. You just told me I was the Christ. If you really believed I was the Christ, then you should know that when I'm telling you that I'm going to get killed, they're going to take me up, whatever. You should understand that that's Christ talk. That's what that lifestyle looks like. Like that goes together. Like this is, that's the next step. Oh, obviously you had your own idea of Christ, didn't you? Oh, and then we took and rebuked him. Be it far from thee, Lord, shall be under me. So now here you go, because it's not the idea that you got, right? It's not the idea. You done cloned so much. See, Peter was cloned. Peter had cloned so much, and he still had a little Pharisee, Sadducee in him, and he had cloned, and he heard all the prophecies over the years and learned it all through his upbringing, and he thought that it was going to happen a certain way. He took the thoughts of other people and thought they're going to come ride and take everything over, and then Jesus comes and tells him something that's fresh. Now, it doesn't look like it feels good, and it doesn't look like it's the most exciting thing, but it is the key. Die. We got too many alive churches and not enough dead ones. These churches need to die. They need to be crucified. I'm sad to say this, that some churches become more effective after they have a tragedy, or after they have a great falling, or after they have a great falling away, or after they have a great leader that falls. In some instances, they become more effective out of the public eye. Crucified. Crucified. Jesus answered Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. God, why so harsh? Get behind me, Satan. For thou art an offense to me, you're a stumbling block, you're a blockage. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Come on, church unusual. The church is usual because we're savoring the things that be of men. What men? Men that got churches already and they got success, and you look in and you like what they got, you like what they see, so you're trying to model yours after that, or you're just trying to get more people, so now you're catering to what the people want. Whatever. Did you know that Jesus wasn't here about the people? I don't know where we get this false narrative of his idea. Jesus wasn't here for the people. Jesus closed the door upon the people. He said, I'm here to do the will of my Father. And then people, in turn, get blessed by that. But I'm not here for the will of the people. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We get to running behind signs and wonders and miracles. Signs and wonders and miracles are not, look, those are only spurts in the process. Those are only spurts in the, he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. The whole kingdom. He's trying to make you clear so that you can clear land and the kingdom can land here. Something that we've never seen before. Signs, wonders, and miracles are only spurts. There's only parts of the process. Jesus was much more than a sign, a wonder, and a miracle. We chase him for those, but he's so much more. Christ is so much more than your sign, your wonder, your miracle, your deliverance. He's so much more. There's so much more life to Christ than just your manifestation that you're trying to get. All the manifestations you're trying to prove that God is real. He don't need, God has no ego. Prove to who? Do you realize that gravity is formed by him? And so now we have this, so get behind me because you're savoring the things that be of men. Oh, you need them hand claps. You want somebody to tell you you're a great preacher. You want somebody to tell you you got a great ministry. You need somebody to acknowledge you when you walk in the room. You need to feel good. And those will be the people that will be ineffective. You savor the things that be of men. Then he said to the disciple, he turned around and said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. For whosoever saves his life shall lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. What profit a man if he gain the whole world? You gain all the technology, and you gain all the remedies, and you gain all the ins and outs of how they work and the strategies. You gain all that. What profit a whole man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You are already aligned with God. God has already brought you as a portal for the kingdom of God to land here through you, but your mind is on them. You're double-minded now, because God's got a mind in you, but your mind is over there. Now you're double-minded, so you're unstable in all your ways. Your mind is not aligned to the divine. This is the only reason, meditation and all these things we do, because you're lining your mind up to the divine. I'm not talking about listening to a message right now. I'm not talking about playing something over and over again right now. I'm not talking about worship songs. I'm not talking about that right now. I'm talking about, boom, one-on-one. Cut the noise. Allow there to be an awkward silence. Because in the midst of that, God will show you something that you hadn't seen before. He has a plan. I don't know, we quote these scriptures. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard. We quote, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, but we still keep doing the stuff that we thinking. Or some idea that somebody gave us. How do you know? Are those ideas originals? Or are they duplicates? Even God made us with different fingerprints to show that how elite and how different he wanted everything to be. Nobody on earth got the same fingerprint. I think he's trying to say something. You know, when you grow apples on trees, I learned this. I'm into growing things in nature. And I learned all apples have different DNA. Actually, if you let the apple tree grow like it's supposed to, no apple will come out the same color. All of them will be different colors. The only reason they get different color, they get the same color apples because they're trying to market them and trying to sell them, and they clone them. They call it grafting. They'll take a piece of the red apple and graft it into the growth of the tree. And so it'll put the red apple up there again, so now they can shine them up. Most of the apples you see at the store, they've been shined up and waxed to be pretty for your eyes to eat. Come on, Garden of Eden. But truthfully, there's different kind of, all apples on the tree, all of them are different. Different colors and everything. Like most, a real apple tree have different colors on them. Yeah, absolutely. But we commercialized, we cloned. We're duplicated, we're echoed, we're regurgitating the same stuff. And now, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Can't happen. It can't happen in earth and around us in earth because we're not open and we're not fasted enough and we're not separated enough or we're not meditative enough. Meditation, in my Living by the Book class, say the meditation, Jesus became meditation in the flesh. He didn't have meditation time. He was the word meditated. That's who we are too. If we take our time to do it, sometimes we got to cut things off so we can get to what he's saying. He's trying to, his plan is always to create something new. I'm not talking about being weird or coming up with something off the wall because you're trying to be different. You don't have to try to be different. God knows how it works, but he'll give you something. He'll show you how to do it. And this is where the church needs to be. The reason we even have a class called Church Unusual is because what? Church is usual, business as usual. And it's only because we've cloned everybody else's idea. The generation before, we cloned it again. The generation over there, another, we cloned it again. We just cloning and cloning and cloning. Before you know it, you got a bunch of different pieces, a bunch of different things, and you think it's an original when it's actually just like one of those quilts that got different squares on it. And you take it, you know, the patches and all that. Yeah, it's there. Cut it off. Cut it off. Calm down. Stop glorifying all these things because we see all these numbers. And I'm not, numbers are good. I'm not knocking anything. It's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that we've got to put ourselves in a position for God to create through us. This is why Paul said, the creature waited for the manifestation of the Son of God. Why are they waiting? Because ain't nothing happening. Why the creature waiting? Because ain't nothing been happening. We've been bringing a counterfeit to the creature, and the creature's like, that ain't it. The creature's like, I can smell the fear in you. That ain't fresh. And so we've got to put ourselves in position to where we don't cater to or clone or imitate everything we've seen, but we're still enough, we're meditative enough, we get off enough on our own and by ourselves to be able to let God speak to us in a special way so that he can do some special things and be creative. Amen.